It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the Pee Wees to the Preps and the Pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network. We've got some great news in February. Later in February, we'll be talking about, it's already February 4th, about some affiliates coming on board and are expanding the platform with the stream. We've got some great content that I've just got commitments from on the stream, so I'm looking forward to that. Each and every Saturday, all of our high school conversations are brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor, and we're going to do some cool things with them as well. That's why it's a Super Soccer Saturday. We're going to be doing something here on February 18th. We'll talk about that as well. And then, of course, our good friends at Sea Dogs and, of course, Ice Pick Vodka for all of our adult conversations, like the next one we're going to be having, and that is Big O and the Axeman. And then Ben Botham, did you have anything you wanted to get off your mind today? Because I know you like to come on and vent about something that just infuriates you.
Something in sport.
There's got to be something this week.
Well, I know that our next segment here is going to be on basketball, and this is coming.
No, it's not going to be all basketball. We'll direct a little traffic.
Because March Madness is March sadness for me. I will admit that I have the worst time during March. I know it's the start of baseball, but it's the time of the year where ESPN decides to just go into the basketball like mode. And
why wouldn't they?
Well, because there's other sports that exist too.
Baseball has 162 games,
and they probably focus on baseball probably a total of two of those games. So,
okay, now you've completely lost me. You've got March Madness. It's called Topic of the Times. Why wouldn't you go March Madness? If you started covering spring training,
much more exciting.
Oh, riveting. Are you kidding me?
I can feel my goosebumps now just thinking about it.
The only thing I'm excited about is opportunity for us to make money because they're going to be right across the street. Riveting?
It's exciting watch.
You are an old soul, dude.
He's selling himself as we speak.
Yeah.
He's trying to
convince
himself. Ben's
going to be one of those guys when he's my age. He's going to have the rocking chair. He's going to have a coldie. His grandkids will be out playing baseball. Forced to. Everybody else will have all these electronic games, been playing esports, and he'll have his old glove from Savannah State in his grandson's hands. That's it, grandson. That's how I used to do it at Savannah State.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't be teaching kids how to throw a baseball.
No, that definitely. No.
Yeah, they won't let me throw BP at
that. Okay, so March sadness.
March sadness. We're approaching that time.
Should I give you the month off? I will let you do a baseball segment just to give our audience that tease for what's going to take place, and should be a great season for the Rays. And when you guys can talk a little bit about that. Arguably, and I'm sure that Alex believes this, one of the strongest rotations in the American League East, without a shadow of a doubt.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I think this team is going to be outrageously dominant. The Rays finished with I think the fourth lowest ERA in baseball. So if they continue those kinds of numbers, they will definitely put up a great fight this coming year, especially with some more with some bats to back them up.
All right, now we'll give these youngsters their forum. Big O and the Axeman, Oscar Garner III, and Alex Reba. Take it away, fellas. Keep it in.
Finally,
stay in your lane.
A chance to get on my soapbox.
Stay in your lane.
First, I want to say I can't fault my colleague Ben Botham here. Savannah State. He's not going to see the tournament ever. He's not going to be there. Why would he care about the product? Hey, he can't.
Georgia Southern might be coming back. They might get in there somehow.
There's a chance, but I can't fault the man. He's a baseball guy, right? Mm-hmm. But on this platform, where do we start, bud? Like Florida,
February. That's where we start. We are 1 month away from the best month of the year, March Madness, spring training for Premier League in full bloom. We got NHL, NBA playoffs coming up. I can't believe the negativity that we had to lead off this segment. It was horrible to hear, but I'm excited.
The positivity for Florida people.
Today, specifically, we have 6 ranked matchups across the collegiate landscape, and that does not include the best rivalry in college basketball, Duke UNC, an unranked matchup this year, both teams. But I think it's going to be an exciting day. I'd say this is an absolute year of parity in college basketball. And I'm a big fan of the Titus and Tate Show, one of the best college basketball podcasts, I think, around, except for when we start ours and start talking college hoops. But they were talking about how there isn't a big heavy this year. There isn't like that Kentucky that was undefeated that you can root against. We talked about the Blue Bloods last year. The Blue Bloods have had a tough season. In my opinion, that makes it more exciting because, I mean, brackets are just going to be torched by day 2 of the opening weekend. And I think that makes for a really great tournament. And I think the parity is best for college basketball. But I do see their point in that there is more fun rooting against that evil Duke team that people are going to hate, or that evil Gonzaga team, because everyone doesn't like rooting for those frauds on the West Coast Conference. That I certainly don't, at least. You know, I think there is a lacking team, because Purdue has always been that team that they get to March and then they fall, you know. And this team is not, they were talking about, this is not the best Purdue team that they've had in a decade. I mean, Zach Edey is dominant across the
John Wooden award winner.
Yeah, I think so. I think Zach Edey is the best player in college basketball without a doubt. And I think it's a pretty far difference. I mean, I just watched him annihilate my Penn State team because we doubled him on every time he got the ball and then left Mason Gillis to hit 9 threes in our face, a power forward setting the Mackey Arena record. It was pitiful to watch, but it was our game plan and it wasn't executed properly.
That was pathetic.
But I think that they are going to be in trouble if they face a team with a big man. We don't have any big men, so we were never going to have a shot. So I think Purdue as the heavy this year, I don't think that they're that heavy, though, because if they go up against a team that has size, say a UNC with Armando Bacot, who can put a body on him, and also having depth, if you can rotate 3 guys, Purdue does not have that depth in the big man spot. So when Edey needs, when he needs time on the bench, he's played some of the most minutes in the Big Ten of any player, which is surprising. I don't know if that's he's going to be able to hold up. He's looked great. No injury problems so far. I don't want to bring that on him. But it's going to be interesting to see come March how Purdue holds up against a 6-game slate that they're going to have to win game after game after game and potentially face some big guys that they can rotate in and out. I mean, I think that's going to be something to look out for.
Well, they've been able to string together a lot of wins in the Big Ten and in a conference that's, I think, 3rd ranked right now when it comes to having teams in the top 25.
Yeah.
And they're not going to be overly ranked or anything like that. But look, if Purdue can sweep through the Big Ten and avoid the cannibalism that we've seen over the past couple months, I think they can put together a good run. Now, do I think they're going to take the crown? I mean, no pick I've ever made to take the crown has ever panned out ever. So I'm not going to call anything on that.
I called Baylor the year Baylor won, and I had the Baylor Gonzaga as my final. That was my best bracket by far, and I still don't even win my pool. You know,
you're going to strike lightning.
This year, I think you're throwing a dart at a board and have no idea. So that's the thing. You look at Alabama, probably the best team in the SEC.
Best team in the SEC, probably the most consistent.
They are not a physical team. They are a finesse team.
Absolutely.
That relies on Walker. They rely on their shooters and their guards. And they still have Quinterly. They have that Jelly Fam lineage still. But I don't know.
That reference won't land for
you got to be a big basketball, a hoops mixtape kind of guy to know the Jelly Fam. But I really don't know what to expect from this Alabama team come March. And I don't think the SEC has a lot of teams that people fear. Go ahead, Mike. What do you have thoughts on?
Well, I was just going to ask you guys, with our Florida audience.
Yeah.
Are there any teams in the state of Florida, besides Miami and FIU that you think have a shot at making the dance?
Florida. It's ironic. I wanted to bring this up. If you look at KenPom right now, which I think is my basketball worship website for when it comes to March, it has Miami 37th
in the country.
Miami at 37th. Florida Gators at 38th, Florida Atlantic at 39th. They're all 3 together. So I think when it comes to a talent standpoint, when it comes to looking at their ability to get points, to have a good net rating, those 3 teams all have a shot at coming into March, but it's going to depend on, you know, who steals bids when we get into conference tournaments.
Exactly.
is Florida going to get some more quad wins on their schedule? I was just looking at it. They have two quad one wins against Mississippi State and one against Tennessee. Now,
that was a big one.
That was Todd Golden's like marquee signature win that he needed to get for the Gators to get this program with a little bit of momentum. And they're going to need it because, again, the SEC is competitive.
It's funny that you mentioned Todd. He's coming in first year head coach with this team, and mm-hmm. he took his past program to its first bid since the 90s in the tournament last year. So if he wants
the Dons,
The Dons. What is that?
San Francisco.
Okay.
I love the Dons.
So you know, if he's gonna come in and make a case for why they hired him and cement himself, he wants to do the same thing.
He's gonna be Billy Donovan.
Well, that's rarefied air to mention in Gatorland.
Billy Donovan. You heard it here.
I really like
Billy's up there in the Windy City now, coaching my Bulls.
I always respect coaches that come from mid-majors that took them and made successful. I mean, you look at with those teams with Loyola Chicago and how much success they were able to have. Teams that can build like sustained success, and then those coaches that make the jump to the Power Five, it always is to be determined if those coaches can succeed.
Or Butler, you go straight to the Celtics.
Exactly. Yes, I mean, I think it'll be interesting. Florida's got a really good matchup tonight against Kentucky. They're 5.5-point road dogs. But, I mean, hopefully they can carry some momentum. I think I'd like to see the Gators in there. It makes it more interesting, especially living in the Tampa St. Pete area. But yeah, I think that FAU team is probably the most exciting in the state. Miami's probably the most talented, too, and they've played a great road. They've played very well in the ACC, which is a good conference this year, but also, like we said, kind of lacks some of the depth. I mean, they're going to get teams in there, but will those teams be consistent? I mean, you look at like the Pitt Panthers, they're 8-0 against the spread on the road this year. They've been a very good team, but they're pretty surprising to be as good as they've performed so far. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to see when we come to March what teams can kind of elevate and which teams are going to start to fall back. I mean, we've already seen some teams start to take some steps back, and I think Tennessee could be one of those teams because they have not been able to find any sort of consistency.
This could be a springboard. FAU right now is projected to be 10th seed in the East. They'll have a 7th seed matchup actually with your Hawkeyes if everything stays even keel right now. For the Gators, they're going to have to take this Volunteers win and take it into a streak of wins that they can say, hey, we deserve a slot right now. They're going to be on that bubble. They're going to have to play in to get to the tournament, I think, if it all stopped today. Mm-hmm. But give them some time. Give coach some time to ride this momentum and get these players together. And I think with the parity that we have in college basketball right now, they'll be able to at least be a round 32 team.
Well, when I watched them, they got beat by UIB the other night. But one of the things that I respected was they were down almost 19, 20 at one time.
Yeah.
And they battled back, and they got some shooters. They've got some offensive weapons. And I thought they were going to come back and steal that from UIB on the road. So I was impressed with that team, and I wouldn't want to see my Iowa Hawkeyes playing them.
Speaking of your Iowa Hawkeyes, what did you think of the student section debacle? Did you hear about that?
No.
So there was Illinois, the Orange Crush student section.
Tell the story, because this is an interesting story for anybody. Yeah.
They have a great tradition where they do a road trip once a year to a visiting opponent in the Big Ten's their arena. And so this year they chose the Iowa Hawkeyes as their victim. And they made a group order for 200 tickets from the Iowa Hawkeyes, but they placed the order under a Boys and Girls Club from Iowa. So they definitely tried to do some trickery here to get in the building as a nonprofit organization with some discounts there.
F and Illini.
Iowa finds out about this at last second, and they cancel the tickets. They refund them, and the Orange Crush put out a statement from their Twitter page saying the student section has lost $6,000 in transportation fees. They'd already booked charter buses that couldn't be refunded, and it boils down to about $27 per person, by the way. So we're not talking huge amounts of cash, but they really played it up. They're like,
our
annual salary has been broken down. And so Iowa comes back with their own statement saying this was a Boys and Girls Club, like, that is not a Boys and Girls Club. Yeah. So they donated those tickets to an actual Iowa Boys and Girls Club. And I got to say, it's a pretty bad look for the Orange Crush to be complaining about.
Exactly.
Credit to them for trying to sneak around the system, but the system fought back and it won. You know, I just don't think you can go out there.
We may not be that great in sports, but we do have high IQs at the University of Iowa.
You got them. You got the best of them there. And I do respect that. But again, Illinois, You can't be. You tried and you lost. You
sounds know? Like something a Chicago one would do. Oh, my next guest is from Chicago. My daughter lives there.
What do you think? You think they're going to win today, though?
Oh, do I?
Now that the student section's out of the building and you got the Boys and Girls Club of Iowa in town.
I'll tell you what. One thing, I'm disappointed in Illinois this year. I thought they were going to be much better than they are.
I mean, 16-6, I'd say they've been pretty solid. I think they haven't elevated. I think it's just been it's a tough conference, you know? And I think they've lost some of those great players that they've had from the past teams that did underachieve a little bit. But I still think they've been a good team.
The Big Ten tournament will be interesting.
Yeah.
I think you guys are dead right. All of these tournaments are going to be great this year because of the parity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if it's the ACC.
There's going to be a lot of stolen
SEC.
Bids. There's going to be a lot of stolen bids. I mean, and that's the thing. You think about teams in the past like Georgetown that could not win a single game in their entire conference play, but then they go on a heater in March and then they steal a bid. So it's like that could happen at any point.
And the only reason Patrick Ewing keeps his job is because he's Patrick Ewing and he's at his alma mater.
Wild Patrick Ewing still had a job after 29, I think it was 29 straight losses in conference regular season play.
I'm very excited for conference playoffs because those brackets are going to be insane. We're going to be able to see what these guys are really made of when stuff's on the line. And I love interconference.
March sadness?
Huh? No, I'm talking about Big Ten, Big 12.
Oh, I agree.
I love to. I can't wait
for
Big,
March Big Sadness.
Honestly, it's honestly
so much energy's over here. It's you like, need to get on the train.
That is there is all the wall basketball all day.
We got to get him on the train.
It's incredible. It starts at 12. It goes till 12. I mean,
we'll pick a bracket for you. We'll throw down some coldies, and you'll turn into a March Madness fan.
I don't know if I can get into basketball, Mike. I'll sit and
go that close-mindedness will not get you anywhere in life.
I'll go through the golf show with you, Mike. I love golf. I like golf. I'll do it all day long. Heck, I'll even go for tennis. But gee whiz, basketball just doesn't do it for me.
Gee whiz, you know what he'd say if we were off the air? Shucks, I don't like that March Madness.
So what team should I be rooting for then going into March Madness? Mm. Is there like a sleeper team like a St. Peter's that was there last year?
Well, you're paying attention.
I can't, you know, hide under a rock, but you know, I don't enjoy it.
The beauty of it is St. Peter's is St. Peter's until they make those 2, 3, 4 wins and end up in the Final Four out of nowhere. I can't tell you who that's gonna be.
Yeah,
of course I'm the idiot.
There's more potential this year than there's ever been.
I can give you some mid majors to keep an eye on.
Well, so it expanded this year, right? Or was that next year?
No, it's 68 teams. 64 make the bracket, 4 make the play-in, and right now
that's enough.
State Lions are on the outside looking in, but we're close. The Gators are in that first 4 out too, based off Gilinardi's most recent projections. But some teams to look out for that would be, you know, not the Blue Bloods that you might know of, would be that FAU team we've talked about. This is easily their best program in history. They had a 20-game winning streak just snapped by Jordan Jelly Walker at UAB. So a great team in-state if you want to keep an eye on them. Another fun team if you want to go out the West Coast, St. Mary's. Now, they've
always been solid.
They are always a team you don't want to face in March. They sneak their way in into like an 8 or a 9 seed, and everyone's like, oh, I don't watch West Coast
didn't
basketball.
Didn't they beat Gonzaga in their tournament a couple years ago?
Yeah, I mean, they usually make a run in those West Coast conference tournaments because they've produced talent, they recruit well, and they're well coached. And I think
cerebral basketball IQs are enormous.
So they're 19-4 this year. The West Coast conference is actually pretty interesting. When I was out on the West Coast, I checked out a Santa Clara versus San Francisco game, and Santa Clara has been an interesting team this year, but they've kind of fallen off during conference play. But I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. And tonight we have St. Mary's playing Gonzaga. So that's a nice, we got wall to wall basketball all day today, 6 ranked matchups, like I said. And that's going to be the closer at 10:30 on ESPN. So that's exciting. And, I'm trying to think some other fun teams.
You need to let Alex pick your, your sheet.
There's a chance.
Michigan State.
I'll watch Field of Dreams or something while baseball's not on it. So,
my God.
Moneyball. That's my start.
That's your go-to?
Yeah, I love.
See, I think that's the most overrated.
Dude, I knew
this guy has the worst takes of anyone.
I already know.
Field of Dreams is
Patrick Mahomes, overrated. Moneyball, overrated. March Madness, overrated.
I never said Patrick Mahomes was overrated.
You said they got too cute and you picked the Jaguars.
No, he said cutesy.
All right, so what do you call them doing a ring around the rosy there?
I call them five straight AFC championships, one Super Bowl ring, one Super Bowl appearance, and another this year. I call that dominance. I call that dominance. They're not
going to win the Super Bowl this year.
Oh, another prediction against Patrick Mahomes. Another doubt. You know, it's incredible.
I think he's the best quarterback in the NFL currently.
Well, you picked Trevor Lawrence to beat him.
He's getting pitchy.
He almost did.
Almost. Only counts in horseshoes and hand grenades.
It's the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I thought you'd like that. I'm getting that your way.
Yeah. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars. Come on.
We should cover horseshoes one time.
Sure. Well, we have it out back.
Expand my depth.
All right. Any more?
Can we do a Kyrie? Kyrie Irving.
Deadline is February 9th. Does he get traded?
No.
Absolutely not.
No, he does not get traded.
Wait. But he walks at the end of the year.
Yeah, but I don't. The Nets, like, what? I mean, the Lakers, what are you going to? The Lakers are going to send Russell Westbrook and those draft picks. I do think the Lakers are going to do a panic mode trade. I really do.
They have to.
But I don't know what that trade's going to be. I was listening to some trade ideas come through.
Nobody's going to want that Russ money that's going to roll off.
I was hearing, you know, the OG Anunoby and Fred Van Vliet, and everybody on the Raptors is on the trade block right now, and I really don't know what's going to happen, but I really hope my Cavs can get a three, because we do not have a good forward. Jetty Osman put up like 29 the other night, his best career ever, and then the next night he folded up.
All right, fellas, we're up against it.
There you go.
TB12 retiring.
Yeah.
Miss you.
I have a hot take. I think he's going to do a little like wait until week 8, quarterback goes down. I'm out of retirement, maybe. I think it's possible.
On that, we're going to take a break. We will be back here on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection, and we're going to have a conversation with Jim Hart, talking a little high school soccer after Big O and the Axeman, and the always positive Ben Botham chiming in. We'll be back here on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Time's over. Reset the clock.
We're going to shut them down.
Dial the down.
Do it!
And get your head in the game.
Visualize an attack. Yes. Visualize an attack.
Yes. With the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'll take a scotch and water. Hold the scotch.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
What does Sea Dog Brewing and Shipyard Tampa Bay Tailgate have in common? Both are world-class experiences, owned by the same people. Want a great place to spend some time with friends this holiday season? The place to be is Sea Dog Treasure Island, 9610 Gulf Boulevard. Why Sea Dog, you ask? Well, it's locally owned with locally produced brew right here in Florida. It's also a place for fun, food, and drink on the coastal Blind Pass waterfront. Ice pick draft drinks, Sea Dog Blue Paw, and a Mug Club Rewards program. Get all this to go with a family-owned breakfast experience with homemade biscuits and more. Open 8 a.m. to late night. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com. While there, enter to win Tampa Bay tailgate tickets near Ray J for Bucks home games. Sea Dog Brewing, Treasure Island. It's where Tampa Bay family and friends go to enjoy life from breakfast to late night. 9610 Gulf Boulevard, Shipyard, Sea Dog Brewing. Check it out at treasure.seadogbrewing.com.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill at the corner of 13th and Central, across from the Trop in downtown St. Pete, serving Champa Bay for over 29 years, is your iconic headquarters to catch your favorite teams in action with over 95 televisions, 35,000 square feet to serve private parties, game watching events, concerts, and of course all the Rays, Bucks, and Lightning action, along with your favorite collegiate teams. Join the party every game at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
I'm Captain Jeff Figgers from Florida Fishing and Adventures. Do you want to constantly catch more fish, spend less time changing baits? If so, Monster 3X baits, jigs, and scents are the answer. Monster 3X baits are tough, durable, and resistant, which allows you to catch more fish per bait. The combination of the Monster 3X lure with the ProPure Bait Super Scent, you will be landing more fish right away. Whether it's the Monster 3X Ultra Soft or the X Swim lures, Swim Shad, Paddle Tails, Crawfish, or the X Frog, Monster 3X, you'll always find it in my tackle box.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Champa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor. This next conversation with Jim Hart, and then we're going to transition to a conversation in high school soccer with the Lady Seminole Warhawks, and near and dear to your heart. You got some fellow, well, they're not alum yet.
Not yet, but they'll be joining the ranks of the alumni pretty soon. So I'm excited to be talking to them next.
Well, you're coaching the baseball team now, and you also will be potentially in the library?
Hopefully I'll be teaching history next year. That's the plan, Mike. There's a couple people retiring, so hopefully I'll be taking over those spots.
Well, with the taking over those spots? Spot. He might be a librarian. goes from being a baseball player to a librarian. All right, Jim. So thanks for your patience coming down and see how I fumble and stumble and bumble on the radio airwaves.
It's awesome.
And you know, I the only reason you're the king of soccer, as far as I'm concerned, because you know more than I do times a thousand. You have coordinated everything for me, and it's a soccer Saturday on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection.
Well, you got a great team here coming in right behind us. These kids have had an amazing season,
and the Lady Warhawks. By the way, Ben Botham, who will be interviewing you, he's a graduate of Seminole, and but he was a baseball player. You'll have to educate him in the world of soccer. So what? And you had fun with the Eckerd. We had the Eckerd men's soccer team. I forgot you were a coach there.
Yes, 85 to 87, 3 great years. I thought I was headed in that direction of college coaching, and then things took a turn in 1987.
And then, is that the year that you ended up at Clearwater Catholic?
That's right.
How many years were you there?
25.
25 years of success. And I bet you missed those days.
Well, yeah. I mean, I loved it at CCC. Then I went on to coach 6 more years of high school soccer at Carrollwood Day School and loved that. And I love the Tampa Bay Top 10. I love what I'm doing now. So, yep, loved it all.
Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Top 10 and something that we're going to be promoting. We've got a big event down here on February 18th in 2 weeks with your champions draw. Talk about how that evolved and how important that's become for the world of soccer and the boys and the girls side.
Sure. Well, you know, it evolved when I went to Carrollwood Day School. It was a small school with not a big profile. And so we were looking for ways to improve our profile. Started the Tampa Bay Top 10 as a way of having coaches vote for the top 10 teams in the area. Just an opinion. And that evolved and got better. People liked it. And then it occurred to me at some stage that soccer has a thing called the Champions League. And we have a state tournament that yields a district champion. And it gave us the basis for putting those district champions together the following season in a sort of a league format to play each other, with the idea of yielding an answer to the question everybody always has is, who's got the best team? And this is a way to do it. This is a way to actually find out on the field of play.
Well, and it's been well received. The coaches obviously are involved and support and endorse you versus opposing what you're doing.
No, there's been unanimous support. Everybody's excited about it. Everybody likes it. I think, did you guys win district?
Yes.
These guys are going to be in the Champions League next year.
Bravo, coach. We talked about that. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I think coach's good friend, Randy.
Sit down, coach.
Who is, you're friends with Randy, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Talk into the mic, my friends.
His friend, Randy Irick, who coaches the Palm Harbor girls team, was the first girls Champions League champion this past year. We've done 1 girls Champions League and 5 boys Champions Leagues. And he's going to come and try to take Randy's trophy from him.
Well, we like that. Rick, welcome to Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Appreciate you bringing the girls down. And I told Ben, I said, too bad you don't know anything about soccer. You know, you're a baseball guy. Your alma mater is going to be in the house.
Yeah, but I was looking it up online. I saw you guys are doing very well. What was it, 14-2-1 overall? And so it's been a good season for you guys, correct?
It's been great. Best season in 10 years at Seminole.
Talk a little closer into the mic there, coach, please. There you go. So Let's continue on this champions, and then we'll bring Rick and the girls into the conversation. Yeah.
So the cool part, Mike, is that now that Seminole's a district champion and all of the district champions are coming out, we're going to need to invite four at-large teams because we don't have enough district champions to fill a 16-team field. So we're going to go to the state rankings, and we're going to start going down the rankings one team at a time until we hit a local team that didn't win the district. So the best of the teams that didn't make it are going to get at-large bids. We'll have all 16 teams sorted probably within a week or so. Then the cool thing happening here at Fergs is that, okay, you've got 16 teams. Who's going to play who? That's where we divide it up into groups of four, and that's what the draw is. So by blind draw, four high school teams at a time are going to be taken out of a hat, and that's going to be a group, and those teams must play each other in the early part of next season. And among those three games that they have to play each of the other teams, whichever one of the four does the best advances to the Champions League Final Four, which happens on the final Saturday before Christmas vacation. And it all, we'll have a champion that day.
Wonderful format. When does soccer begin at the high school level then, Coach?
Third week of October is when tryouts start.
So tryouts start, and then you're winding down right now in February.
Yeah.
The only thing I asked when I was looking at that, and you and I had a conversation, and someone else, I was talking from Osceola, is there's so many breaks. Christmas breaks, you have to deal with that, the Thanksgiving break. So you've got a lot of obstacles from a practice time and available dates to be able to play.
And even a bigger obstacle is club soccer.
Amen.
Club soccer is still going on for seniors and a lot of showcases. I coach a club team. They're seniors. They've all committed to college. But last year in the middle of high school, we had to go to Disney to do a big showcase. So
isn't there any way, and this happens in basketball, happens in baseball, isn't there any way that, you know, everybody can just get along?
Yes.
Jim, you were at the Chargers.
For a year, yes.
I'm at Florida Celtic. It'd be great if we could get together. I'm from New Jersey originally. We have high school soccer and football in the fall at the same time. They pull it off. I don't know why we can't do that here. Because I think if club soccer here went, we didn't play in the fall, it'd be better. So club soccer starts in July to October, sometimes in November. High school's going on. There's still club tournaments going on. And then club picks up again in February. So these kids are playing 10 months out of the year. They never get a break. Never.
No break.
And if it was exactly as George describes, to where club soccer went to the time that high school soccer starts and then they stopped, so the kids could then focus on high school and their studies. Remember, they've got that first semester finals come in all of this too. You know, final exams, those are important.
Very important.
If the clubs would put a governor on themselves and just stop and let the high schools proceed and then pick it back up, everything would work.
Why don't they do that? Is it the
great question?
I was just going to say the economic greed.
It's all about.
What's in sports everywhere now? You know, everybody talks about it at the collegiate level. Like you're kidding yourself. It's at the youth level.
And I worked in clubs, George. I worked 1 year at the one club, but I've worked as a club coach for 40 years. There's nothing wrong with club coaches getting paid for what they do. Nothing wrong with it. But what happens is the incentives become too strong to where the club coaches now who get paid don't want to see their players leave for 2 months, don't want to explain to parents who are paying them why they should get paid when they're not doing anything.
Well, wouldn't you think the guy running the show would have his phone muted? But you got to look at who you're dealing with. and these clubs, they get sponsorship as well, don't they?
It's, you know, this could be a whole, we could go hours.
We will sometime.
I've been coaching club for 15 years. My current club team, I think I have 8 kids committed to college. So a lot of the parents put a lot of financial into this and time into the club. They know that's where their college exposure is going to come from. So it's tough. It's as a high school coach, we're almost second banana we are.
And I've noticed that. You know what we need to do, guys? We'll continue this, but we need to get the girls on the air. Let's get the girls on the air. They're sitting over there patiently. You've got moms clapping, and they're getting ready to take one of these ball bats and come whack me if I don't keep this moving forward. Sit down, young ladies. Congratulations. Ben's going to sing the seminal fight song for you today. He doesn't know that yet, but I figured, you know, being his alma mater, I think it's only appropriate if you cracked into your alma mater's fight song. Do you even know it? Yeah.
No, we have.
All right. Nobody knows the seminal fight song?
No.
All right. Congratulations on a great year so far, but by the next time I have you on the air and Ben's going to be leading the way, we're going to do the seminal fight song live.
There you go.
Got it? All right. All right, Coach. We'll start. Why don't you go and introduce these young ladies, and then I'll ask my goofy questions, and we'll have some fun. And move that microphone to the young lady to the far left, and then we'll just keep sliding. You're good right there. You two share that one. You two share that?
So I'm George Gomes. I'm the coach my fourth year at Seminole. Next to me, I have Elliot Carrington, senior. She also plays club for me, and she's going to Georgia Southwest, correct?
Southwestern.
We have Mimi. Mimi does not play club for me. She's a senior midfielder. So I'll just say Mimi's the only one out of these four that likes me. See, the other three are stuck with me 10 months out of the year, so they're over me. Mimi only has to deal with me for 3 months, so she's like, he's okay.
Oh, so she still thinks you're cool.
Right. The other three don't. Lexi Bain.
Well, it's just like being a parent. Yeah. I mean, your kids' friends think you're cool, and your kids can't stand you.
Lexi has played for me at club since U12. She's our left back. She's going to Huntington in Alabama. And we have Amelia Dressler. She is going to Berry in Georgia. She also plays club for me since U12, and they are over me. 10 months out of the year, they're over.
We'll miss you when we're gone.
Well, everybody misses him. Yeah, when you're not around him, but he's been doing this a long time, and I can tell you guys have a great rapport just with this interaction here. So, young lady, what's your favorite memory since you've been playing at Seminole? And speak into the mic as loud as you can. Ben will help you.
Thank you. I mean, as of right now, my favorite memory has to be winning districts.
Like, congratulations, because Coach told me, you know, the obstacles and what you guys have been up against when we had our brief conversation. And I told you, it's connection karma.
That's right.
We're taking credit for it. So you guys will have to come back again after you have some more success. So winning district by far, your best memory. How about you personally, a particular game?
I mean, thinking back on it, I mean, not beating, but almost keeping Palm Harbor at 0-0. We had them for, almost an hour, which last year we lost, 4-0?
Five-nothing.
So keeping them at 1-0 was just, a personal victory for me, because at part of the back line, the least goals that you let in, is just better and better for you.
You got a special... someone that you want to do a shout out to, and family at home?
I can shout out my parents.
Their names?
Hallie and Jay.
We archive this. You have a lovely young lady here, and I think we're going to end up having you guys back. I just got that. I got that feeling. All right, you want to pass it over to this young lady? I was going to ask you girls if you have boyfriends. I do that to the football players. I do it to the football players. I do it to the basketball players. Any of the young guys that come down, they either want to punch me out, or they think it's humorous. But I'm not gonna. I have a daughter. I'm not doing that to the girls. Maybe I haven't. We'll see how this progresses. And anyway, your name again, young lady?
Lexi Bain.
All right, Lexi, talking to the. Your favorite memory so far have to be across the board last night.
Winning districts by far.
A special memory of anything that you did individually throughout your career?
Being able to play.
That's a big factor.
I've gotten hurt many times, and I've had a couple surgeries in my career. So just being able to play is just a big blessing. That's all I can
show. Yeah, well, bravo.
So Lexi plays club. She, I knew we were going to be good this year. My back four play club for me. So I knew, I was like, it's an advantage. And I said, my back four from club, they're going to play high school. They know what they're cohesive. They know what to do. And in one of our last club games, Lexi goes down with a knee injury. And I'm like, there goes our strength, because the four together, he'd appreciate this. The last goal we've given up run of play was against Palm Harbor in November. We have not given up a goal in a run of play since November. And that's the back line.
That's cohesiveness.
And she got hurt, and we were scared she was done. And then we got word she's going to be able to come back. And that was our little secret, that when she comes back, there goes the back line. I could move a player that we had in that place up to midfield where she should be. And we just became so much stronger. So we thought, you know, the club coach, I was devastated I lost my player. But as a high school coach, I was really devastated, because all our plans kind of went out the window.
So well, she came back. Obviously, you're the comeback player of the year. You rallied. Your family probably gave you a lot of support, and your teammates. And why don't you do a shout out to the fam, because I know during trying times, that's where trying and crying times, yeah, that's where we all go.
Yeah. Shout out to my parents and my siblings. I have four amazing siblings, and
their names.
I'm brother.
What are their names? We archive this so you can listen, and they'll smile.
Lauren, Ashley, Danielle, Jake, and my parents, Daniel and Andrea.
Well, bravo, and congratulations. And you're a senior as well?
Yes.
Did you say all four are seniors?
Yeah, these four are seniors.
Yeah. All four are seniors. Do you have any idea what you want to study when you move on?
Yeah, I'd like to major in bio. I'm going to pre-med track, so.
Wow. Yeah. I'm glad you dummied down this conversation so I could continue with you. What were you going to pursue? I'm sorry, I missed that.
I'm going to pursue psychology.
Psychology is a big one. Yeah, just we have Eckerd College on quite often in psychology. Well, thank you very much, comeback player of the year. And I got a feeling we're going to see you guys again. We got to keep this connection, Karma. Last year I had Holland's baseball team down five times. They kept winning in the playoffs. And coach would call and say, can we come down? Of course. We'll give you that, Karma, at Fergs. Your name, young lady?
Mimi Narcissi.
All right, Mimi. What's your favorite memory besides winning the district? Something you did personally.
I have to say when we played Eastlake, because even though we lost that game, that was one of like my better games, and I played really good against a really tough team.
And you'd have been proud of that. Yeah, you guys do have a lot of cohesiveness. Want to do a shout out? Do you have a boyfriend?
I do.
I couldn't help myself, because you guys were smiling and laughing when I brought that up over this side.
I had one of my friends from the football team come on here, and you asked him the same question, and he was talking about me when he answered.
Oh, so you were the girlfriend?
I'm not.
No. Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope I didn't cause that issue by asking them on the air. Anyway, so that was your favorite memory. What do you want to do a shout out to anybody at home?
Well, I do want to have a shout out to my dad, because he's my biggest supporter.
Is that dad over there smiling and waving?
Yes.
Does he like the boyfriend?
I think so.
All right, gave the thumbs up. That's huge. So, where are you going next year?
University of Central Florida.
Beautiful. You're going to be a lady knight. What do you want to major in?
Aerospace engineering.
Dang. Yeah, between you two, we'll just dummy it down for me. We'll continue. All right. Well, I look forward to seeing anybody else you want to do a shout out to.
Just my whole family in general. I love them.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they love you, but you got a lot to be proud of right now. All right. So you dumped him because he said he had... I asked the poor kid if he has a girlfriend. He says yes, and you dump him.
It's complicated, but we went together.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't go any further. So your favorite memory?
My favorite memory obviously has to be winning districts, but having the opportunity to get up in the game. We were tied 1-1, and then I scored, made it 2-1, and then
wow.
2 minutes later we won.
That's yeah, you scored the winning goal. I mean, that's a huge memory. Gonna have that for a long, long time.
Yeah, it was an amazing moment. I just like couldn't even bear it. I was covered in goosebumps and just like my whole heart was pounding.
I'm sure your family was just ecstatic and going nuts. You want to do a shout out to them?
Yeah, I definitely want to give a big shout out to my family, my mom, Sophie, and my dad, Jeff, and my brother and his girlfriend, Jake and Brittany, and my whole entire support system. They're just amazing. They've been there for everything. Like, I moved clubs to Coach George in, was it 3 years ago? 3 years ago. And it was definitely a hard move because I had like lifelong friends on my other team, and one of my best friends was the coach on my other team, and moving clubs was better for me athletically, but like it was hard emotionally, and making the move was the best thing I've ever done. So it's just changed my life. It's made me who I am.
Well, you guys, obviously, you'll have these friendships and memories for a lifetime, I assure you. There's no doubt about that. And what are you going to do next year?
I'm going to Georgia Southwestern. I'm going to be playing soccer.
Is that up by you, Savannah State?
And I'm going to be majoring in nursing because I want to become a travel nurse.
Well, good for you. Bravo. All right, young lady. Young ladies.
I can just tell you, background for everybody. So the district, we lost three district finals in a row.
Two to one. Oh, man, yeah.
One game, one of them we deserved to lose. The other two we should have won. The thing at Seminole, and I know Rick Macy touched on this, we're going against schools that have 80 players up for tryouts. We have 30. Numbers are stacked against Seminole. We should not be able to compete with Seminole or with Osceola and schools like that, but we do. And we lose 2-1, 2-1, just tough. So in this game, we were favorites. Caitlin Talbaca hits a crossbar with 6 minutes in. If we scored a goal, everything
would be momentum.
But we don't. And then St. Pete scores off a corner. And I'm going to tell you, these girls went in the tank. They were devastated. Mm-hmm. And all I did at the water break in halftime was, girls, calm down, because I saw the here we go again moment. There's a curse. It's been 10 years and three
finals. You guys broke it.
It did.
And it was tough. That was the biggest thing, was just trying to bring them back, because they were. You could just see in their eyes. And when we scored the tying goal 10 minutes in the second half, I felt bad. I knew it was fine. I saw their confidence come back. But this was terrifying. They did not want to lose this 4 years in a row. And so when they tell you winning districts, it was a lot more than that.
Save the best for last at your senior year, yeah. And you're going to continue. When's the next game?
Tuesday, we play Naples. It'll be a tough game. You know, they've done well. So we expect a tough game, but they got to come to us.
Beautiful.
Not conceding goals is a tough team to play against. I'll tell you, I had a club team. We almost won the state championship, and it reminds me of this team. Was not the most talented, but the thing about these two teams is they're so dedicated to each other, to the game. They're so disciplined, and their effort level. It's a hard team to beat. And you might look at us on paper and say, well, I think we could beat them. But when you get them on the field, have to go against the players, it's just, you don't want to play against a team like this. And I hate playing against teams like this, but they don't want to lose. They don't want to say goodbye to the season. And, you know, you're going to have to pack.
Don't say goodbye Tuesday so you can come back next Saturday. I want you guys back. All right. All right, ladies. Well, young ladies, thanks for coming down. I appreciate it. And you guys win. He is singing the Seminole fight song. And I'm going to make certain that it gets done. I'll print out the words for you, pal.
We'll do a little karaoke, me and you.
Yeah. No, not me. It's not my alma mater. It's your alma mater. Well, bravo on a great season. I hope to see you. If not, success as you advance your lives. And I appreciate you coming down. And Coach George, I appreciate you coming down.
Thank you for. They deserve recognition.
Absolutely.
And a group of girls that you'd be proud of, and I'm happy for them.
Well, we'll archive it on our Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Facebook. We'll put it out there for you guys. We archive the conversation on RadioSt.Pete.com. I'll get all that to you. And you can share it with your friends and family and your ex-boyfriend. So he did the same thing to me. All right. Thanks for coming down. Appreciate it very much. All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
You better start getting those pipes ready, buddy, because you're going to be singing his Seminole fight song.
The karaoke bars, Mike, and just me and you practicing.
Yeah, yeah. Just what I'm going to sing.
Can you carry a tune, Mike?
I can't carry a tune in the shower, man. Hey, Jim, I tell you what, thank you very much. Great job, girls. Thank you very much. And parents. Great job. Appreciate it. That's why we do this.
That is why we do it. Exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, people ask me, and they don't make any money doing this. You know that.
That's right.
They ask me why I do it. And I said, you know, I enjoy the interaction with the young people.
Well, you know,
it's quite apparent.
You have a great way of tapping into the emotion that the kids feel. You know, the right way to ask the questions, and that emotion is real. You can see it. You can see it in their eyes. You can hear it in their voice.
Yeah, the poor little girl that it's like the kid I had from Eckerdon from England.
Yes.
His first game of his first career across the pond, and he blows his knee out. This young lady, you know, she gets healthy enough now that she can make this run with her team after overcoming a couple of injuries. I mean, that's the beauty of sport, as you and
yes,
I know.
Is. Yes, it is.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
That's right. We love it, don't we?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to have a great time. We got enough time. Let's go over the 18th again. Who's going to be here? What we're going to do here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Okay, February 18th.
About 4 minutes.
At 4 o'clock is when we start the festivities. The activity will be the Champions League draw for both boys and girls. So there'll be 32 teams affected, 16 boys.
And we'll be upstairs here.
Be upstairs at Ferg's. If you show up at Ferg's on that day, my understanding is it's the Rays Fan Fest that day.
Correct.
So they're going to have to work through the crowd
the parking
and make
issues.
Their way upstairs.
Yep.
So leave plenty of time to park and walk or do whatever you need to do. Following the tradition of great draws, that's a big soccer thing, we are going to have celebrities here to do the draw. So the probably the lead one is Coach Neil Collins, the Tampa Bay Rowdies head coach. He will be here, as well as one of his top players, Lucky M. Kosana, and Perry Vanderbeck, who is a Rowdies legend. He was the first high school player ever drafted into pro soccer in America. He was with the original Rowdies, played for the United States 29 times, and has a long storied career, still doing soccer in the area in various capacities. Also, to help us do the draw will be Sue Pete. Sue Pete is a recently retired legendary coach. The MVP trophy of the Girls Champions League is called the Sue Pete Trophy. She's there representing girls soccer. We've got another person, hopefully, that will come. We don't have that set yet, but Sue will be there, for sure. And, between Sue, Lucky, Neil, and Perry.
And then we're both efforting Martin Gramatica.
That's right.
And I'm hoping to get a response back.
And if we can get Martin in, that would just be fantastic. And they will take turns pulling names. Just literally pulling names out of a hat, just random draw. And those, as the names get pulled out, we'll set up brackets. And, so the cool part of the draw is in that moment right there, they will get to know who they're playing and who they have to beat to get to the Champions League semifinal.
Perfect. That's February 18th upstairs here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. We'll be on from 11 to 2 on terrestrial radio and then on RadioSaintPete.com and our new streaming sports channel, The Stream. Well, Jim, our paths were meant to be, I believe, and I'm looking forward to a long relationship. Ben Baseball Botham, get your pipes ready to be singing the seminal fight song for those Lady Warhawks. For the Triton men's soccer team and Coach Goog with a ton of energy, Big O and Alex Reba, the X-Man and the Big O, Seminole Soccer, as I said, Jim Hart, Joe Berdrow, Big Ed and Matt in the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week.